Welcome to another episode of Midnight FPL. We're sat in a garden, socially distanced, of course, and we are having dinner and some beer. So if you hear any clunking of cutlery or any beers being sipped, we can only apologise if that distorts the quality of the podcast. But the quality in terms of content, well, that will be there because we're doing our differentials. We're talking through blank game week, sort of trying to put that beside, looking forward to wild cards, etc., and answering your questions. And as always, so much more tonight on Midnight FPL. Alright, so I'm joined today by Joel and Sam. I'm going to make you do your three-word game week review, albeit it's been quite a while, but Joel, you always, it's just a combination of shit in different formats, so what's your three-word review?
It was really bad, actually.
Really bad, actually?
Yeah. Yeah, I got 42 points. Oh yeah, honourable shout-out to Aaron. Is it Aaron Cresswell? Yeah, Aaron Cresswell. He got me zero. Which wasn't great. He was my captain and I brought him in that week. But it was a bit of like, I'm doing so badly at this point, I just thought, throw caution to the wind and go with Cresswell, but it didn't pay off. But Lingard and Bamford basically saved me, but apart from that, another awful week. But I think I got I got green arrows.
What up, man?
So it was all right. It was all right. Not as good as I hoped.
So where are you up
to
now?
The lofty heights of 1.2 million.
That's class.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty excited.
I'm really
about
proud.
That's pretty good.
All right, Sam, it's been a while. Can you still remember even how your game week went?
I can. 60 points. Brought in Veltman, thanks to you. Had Lingard, had Bamford, Captain Kane, who got 7 points. That made 14. It's pretty good for a team that only started with 9 players. And it brings me up to 28k from, I think, like 40k, which is pretty lofty anyway. I'm pretty happy. What about you?
I'm just really happy for you. How I feel right now. Nah, I did all right. I got 65, but I took a minus 8. And the worst part is I took a minus 4 for Cresswell because of you twats talking me into him like he's fucking messy. So I did that. Bar that, it was a really good week. Veltman, just inspirational.
Yeah.
Nearly did Trossard over Lookman as well, and that hurt.
Yeah, but the thing about Cresswell is when West Ham were 3-0 up after like half an hour, and I was like, oh, this is either a genius shout or it's an awful shout. Because I thought, there's no way, like, West Ham aren't going to beat Arsenal like 6-0. But it's like, I thought maybe you'd get a clean sheet or something.
If that was me, that Captain Cresswell, I'd look at West Ham 3-0 up in the first half and be like, it's definitely going to be at least like a 3-1. Like, Arsenal aren't going to let themselves go down 3-0.
As well.
Yeah, no, but it's awful. Mm. But yeah, anyway, sorry about Cresswell, that was my fault.
Yeah, sorry to Toby as well. But yeah, good week. Lingard, Rafinha, Bamford. Sam, you spent the whole pod talking about how solid Fulham were, and then who did you bring in this week?
Yeah, it's not. Well, I didn't bring him in. Joachim Anderson.
Rafinha.
Oh, right, I thought you were talking about Joachim Anderson.
You said how solid Fulham were, but Anderson is your differential, and then you bought in Rafinha and profited from points.
But can I add,
so good, apparently.
The Anderson differential wasn't bad. But
you didn't bring him in, you bought in Rafinha.
I didn't bring him in, but
Fulham,
I recommended.
You knew Fulham were deep down.
I recommended that our loyal listeners brought in Anderson, and I hope they did, because they would have done well. But yeah, I had Rafinha in, but that's just collateral from weeks of the past. I had him a few weeks ago.
No, you didn't. You bought him in this week.
No, I didn't. I brought in... Wait, hang on.
You brought him in and one other person. You brought in Veltman and...
No, Rafinha. I had Rafinha last week. I think I had... Yeah, I had him the week before. Yeah, I've had him for 2 weeks now. And, like, when you're going into a game week where not everyone is playing, you've got to keep Rafinha. It's not that I thought he had any chance of scoring against Fulham.
When he scored on a Bamford assist, were you
I just
there?
Thought it was an absolute joke.
Were you buzzing?
I thought it was an absolute joke. Like, the way you scored it as well is just the most untalented goal.
It was so good.
Even Joel could have scored it.
Not saying something though. Must be quite the player.
Anything else to say, Sam?
Onwards and upwards. You can't go a lot further up.
I feel like this has been like the story of our season, right? Like, you guys are constantly, each week, literally each week we do this, it's Louis and Sam do well, and I am like 20 points behind you guys.
But that's like, just because you're back. Like that's.
But Joel, you can't expect to do better than us when you're captaining Cresswell against Arsenal.
Like yeah. Cresswell captain over Harry Kane. It's just like when you look at it now, you're just like, why am I?
Yeah. I wouldn't even say there's levels to this game. I'd just say there's like, as long as you're not stupid, you'd be all right.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna bounce back. I think I'm gonna captain Cresswell again this week.
Wolves away. He's on my bench. He's on my bench. What a waste of time.
To be fair, Joel, this might be the week. And if you don't captain him, you'd probably be quite upset.
Yeah, if he hauls and I haven't captained him, then I've only got myself to blame really. Well.
All right. So this week, who are we captaining? Because Bruno's the obvious candidate, but no, Bruno seems to have disappointed a lot lately. Leeds attacker, Harry Kane away to Newcastle seems appealing.
I'd back Newcastle.
Oh, shut
you
up.
You always say that.
They've had a couple of weeks to like regroup.
They didn't suddenly become good after 2 weeks break.
I don't know. Steve Bruce has had a word with them all, I think.
So you don't back Kane captain?
I think it's turning into one of those things. It's just like same as it is every week. Like Bruno, Kane, even maybe Bamford in with the shout.
Newcastle's so bad that it's like it's almost worth captaining Son over any of your other players, even though he's only got 50% chance of playing.
He's more than 50%. He should play.
You'd assume you would, wouldn't you?
Like I would potentially captain Son. Like it's Kane or Son. He's playing Newcastle. Who are dreadful.
Yeah. Well, I think it's Bruno or
Stuart
Kane.
Dallas. Sheffield United at home.
Stuart Dallas, yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously Rafinha.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Leeds players. It's tricky though because it's hard to know which one. But like Sheffield, whenever Sheffield play, you'd assume they're not going to score. But I assume like they're just not.
Yeah.
And on the off chance Dallas gets a goal or an assist or something, it could be quite decent.
If Marcus Alonso starts, West Brom at home?
Yeah, potentially.
So Chelsea, if they had a nailed starter, I think West Brom at home is a pretty good
thing. Yeah. That's the problem with Chelsea. Well, there's Mason Mount. There are quite a few games this game week where there's like a nailed team that you should back. Like Tottenham away to Newcastle, Chelsea home to West Brom, Leeds home to Sheffield United. I've said Tottenham, yeah. So those three, I'd say, are sort of like teams you should back, try and stack. Yeah, Man U. But the thing is, Brighton have been so solid lately. Like, I brought in Veltman for a reason. I know the stats. And they look so solid, and Veltman gets forward so well. I'd rather back... I would captain Veltman over Maguire.
You don't have Maguire.
No, but I'm saying my point is I can imagine like a Brighton defender getting more points than a Man United defender.
No, I think Brighton, they struggle to convert a chance. I could easily see Luke Shaw getting a hole there, your boy Joel.
Yeah, I'm desperately trying to bring him in for Jamal Lewis, but I don't quite have the funds for it, which is actually really annoying.
Can you not lose funds elsewhere?
Not really. Not really. A 0.1, I'm 0.1 off, but there's no one I want to take out my team. And my
your team's so good.
Thing is, it should be, because you only just use your wild card.
No, it's actually all right.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah, it's not great. But now I'm working on it. But also, I've still got my bench boost, which I'm thinking about using as well.
His team's the exact same. Olerainer and Jamal Lewis. It's all right.
Pascal Strauss.
See, if I bring in Shaw for Lewis, that's actually a decent team.
Mm. The thing that's just arisen is the like Tottenham have a double in 32 or something, but then Man City and Tottenham don't play in game week 33 because they have a cup. But like, there's all kind of issues like that. But we'll do that for another pod. But if you have Son and Kane, I mean, if they have a double in 32, I reckon it's definitely worth holding on to, even if you're playing a wild card.
Yeah, it's still lots to think about, really. This point, especially for me, is more than ever.
Okay,
yeah, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I like whatever I do is not gonna be great, so
I admire you for keeping on going, Joel. Right. So,
not being easy.
That's enough for the first bit of Midnight FPL. Join us in the second part for our differentials for game week 31. Is it
30?
Game week 30. Welcome to everyone's favourite section of the podcast, where we go through our three favourite differentials for game week 30. I'm going to start off with probably I would say the brightest person I've ever met, one of the most FPL geniuses of our generation, Joel Stanley. Who's your differential? You've never got it wrong, I think, this season so far.
I thought for a sec you were going to introduce Note Goat.
Who did you go for last week? I can't remember.
I just can't remember.
It was the blank game week, so it can only be from a few teams. He tried to talk you into Bale.
I wanted Bale. Oh, it was someone rubbish. It wasn't. But the person I've gone this week, I actually think is quite good. But I say that every week. Diogo Jota. He's a 4.7% ownership. And I think he's been decent. I can see him starting again. I know it's obviously I know it's obviously tricky with Liverpool's, who's playing up top for them, but
yeah,
they're playing against Arsenal. But I just back Liverpool. They've had a bit of time off. Klopp's had a bit of time just to like sort himself out. I can imagine them pumping Arsenal quite a lot, to be honest. And he's 6.7, so like super cheap option. Like if you're fed up with Salah, it might be worth it. But yeah, I have a good feeling about Jota. I don't know why.
Okay, so stay clear of Jota. No, but Liverpool are flying under the radar a bit, because if you're playing a wild card and you've taken out Salah, Liverpool's fixtures between now and the end of the season are by far the best out of all the top teams.
Really good.
So I think you'd be naive to go in there without Jota or Salah, because as Joel says, 2 weeks off, more of a fully fit squad. I think Liverpool are a good route, so well done, Joel. I back that.
Thank you.
It's just the annoying thing is you look at that team sheet every week and be like, well, they've got Firmino, Salah, Mane, Jota fit.
Mm.
With the Champions League as well. Just he's not going to play every game, but I guess that's just a cost you.
About 6.7, that's not the end of the world.
Thing is, they've been routinely losing to the likes of Brighton, Fulham and Burnley.
Fulham as well.
So they have good fixtures, but it seems to not mean anything this season.
But Liverpool will turn it around before the end of the season.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's just when that
they're winning
happens.
The Champions League. They're beating teams like whoever it was. Was it Mönchengladbach? I mean, that doesn't count that much.
No, Leipzig.
It was Leipzig, yeah. City played Mönchengladbach. But with ease. I mean, they're clearly a good team in there.
Mm. It'll come. I think after an international break actually helps teams sometimes.
So Sam, you questioned Diogo Jota, so I'm assuming you've got something quite good in the pipeline. Don't tell me you're going for a Fulham striker who hasn't started a game in like 4 months.
Well, I'm going for a Fulham striker who, I'm not sure if he started a game in the last 4 months, but he did just score 2 goals away against Azerbaijan.
Against Azerbaijan.
And he scored a goal against Portugal, and he scored 2 goals against Ireland, so that's 5 goals in 3 matches on the international break.
That's the kind of form Fulham need.
If you can do it against Azerbaijan, you can do it away at Villa. That's what they always say.
Yeah. Well, if you can do it against Ronaldo's Portugal, you can do it away against Grealish's Aston Villa.
Do you see Ronaldo throw his hissy fit?
Yeah, that was embarrassing, to be fair.
But yeah, so Mitrovic, are you going to bring him in? Because I'm assuming you will, because you're recommending him to the listeners.
Well, sadly, I don't have the transfers, but otherwise I would.
You don't have free transfers this week? Have they just limited you away from
I have free transfers, but there's other things I need to do with the squad, like get rid of Cancelo.
Oh, no, I keep Cancelo.
The double up. Wait, you're getting rid of the double up.
But Mitrovic is fire, man. I would get Mitrovic in really quickly.
The thing is, Louis, that's not going to happen.
But I'm your rival, and I want you to bring in Mitrovic. It tells you what I think of that.
But no. Mitrovic away to Aston Villa. 5 goals in 3 games the international break.
You can say the same point.
Then after that, we've got Wolves at home.
Mm-hmm. I think Mitrovic will
Wolves
start,
are one of the worst teams in the league. And then we got Arsenal away. And then we got Chelsea away.
That's
awful. You're one of the worst teams in the league.
The best defence in the league. Sam, you've literally just...
Yeah, so... I think it's a good option.
They're awful shouts.
The fixtures aren't even good at all. No. Aston Villa away, where Martin is top keeper in the league.
Before we started recording, Sam was sat here being like, oh, I just need to choose someone that's got like a good run of fixtures. He's gone.
Arsenal in top form, and Chelsea, who are the best defence in the league.
I mean, Fulham don't have a great attack, but plug an inform Mitrovic in there that
you
we haven't had all season.
You would get up some of the messages you said about Mitrovic in.
No, please don't.
The other day when came on at half time for Magic, was just,
but we all get it wrong. We're sat here, Louis slating me for all the things I said about Mitrovic, and Louis said at the start of the season that Frank Lampard's Chelsea are winning the Premier League. I mean, where's Frank Lampard right now?
Thomas Tuchel's Chelsea when he had Premier League.
He laid
probably
the
foundation. Probably on holiday
in Malaga. He laid the foundation. He's actually about to get the England under 21 job over, apparently.
Is he?
Yeah, which I think is good for him.
That'd be unreal, yeah.
Because the current mate, Boothroyd or something, did these so poorly.
So basically what we're saying is, like, a good job is like the understudy to Gareth Southgate, whose biggest achievement is relegating Middlesborough.
His biggest achievement is getting to a World Cup semi-final. You're that ignorant. I bet you're the one like shouting there, like, yeah, go Southgate. You were a lad Bible the other day in that coat. Like, that is probably what you're from. Is that what you're from?
The thing is, even Frank Lampard can get Chelsea in the top 10 of the Premier League with the likes of
He got top four.
I thought Mason Mount was the best player in the world.
He's definitely up there.
He's up there.
He's in the conversation.
In the conversation, I reckon it goes Messi, Ronaldo, Neymar, and then Mason Mount slots in between Neymar and Mbappe.
Mason Mount, I genuinely believe right here, right now, in terms of consistency this year, in terms of what they bring to their team, you won't find a better player than Mason Mount.
Yeah.
Madison. Oh yeah, Madison did funny interview, didn't
he? Madison does good interviews as well.
Is up there, but Mason Mount, come on.
Stop being
sarcastic. It goes Neymar, Mason Mount, Mbappe.
You're taking your argument to the extreme because you basically said Mason Mount is shit, and then you realise now that he's quite good, so you're basically comparing him to Mbappe to go and validate your argument from earlier.
Wait, what you're saying is that Mbappe is better than Mason Mount?
Yes.
You're saying Mbappe is better than Mason Mount?
Yes.
Chelsea fan?
Yes. Because I'm not ignorant. You were the one who was saying...
Do you think FPL Casual is going to like that?
If you don't follow FPL Casual, follow FPL Casual. Great guy. Shout out FPL
Casual. He's a good lad.
But yeah, what you've done is that classic example when you're losing an argument where I go, so if you say Mitrovic is a really good differential and he does well, and I'd be like, but did he do better than when Pele scored 50 in a game? Like, the point is that Mason Mount is very good. He's probably not as good as Mbappe, but he's certainly better than James Maddison.
Yeah, okay, so where would you slot Mason Mount in? Because I'd put him after Neymar, but where would you put him?
I'd certainly put him ahead of... I think right now you could credibly put him ahead of Kevin De Bruyne.
Yep. You hear that? Louis Gibbons says Mason Mount's better than De Bruyne. All right, we'll wrap it there.
Right here, right now. What's De Bruyne done this year? But I think this year.
I agree. I think he's better than Mbappe. So,
if you don't, consider he doesn't agree with that.
I need a wee wee.
Wrap.
I haven't done my differential.
Do yours.
Okay. My differential for this week. He comes from the same team as Mason Mount, so that's a good omen already. So he's basically playing behind one of the best playmakers, creative forces in the entire league. The person who created more than any player's created an international game, Xavi, against San Marino. San Marino. But he did that in a half and then got taken off to be rested so he could play against Albania and then score a chip, which I'm sure you celebrated.
Took the words out of my mouth. Like, against Albania as well, I mean. God, get better than that.
So to play with Mason Mount, you've got to step up. And Mason Mount's been coming into my team, don't you worry about that. Because he's above 5%, obviously, because people have brains. I've gone for Kai Havertz. He's a rising star.
Really good player he is.
Yeah.
Probably he comes after Mason Mount and Neymar.
So people like Sam, obviously, like lad Bibles of this world, haven't really jumped on him yet because they haven't put a lot of flame emojis. So like Adama Traore, Madison, they've done quite a few flame emojis. So Sam's obviously like, yeah, they're class because he doesn't actually watch football. But as someone who watches football, Kai Havertz got it all, really, doesn't he? He can head it, he can hold it up, he's quick. He can finish. He's got everything. He's 21 years old. People hold him to account like he's probably about 28 in his prime. He's getting better and better. And Sam's all about the international break. He's using Mitrovic against Azerbaijan as a reason.
Yeah.
Kai Havertz got golden assist for Germany. Beauty Kai Havertz as well. He's down as a midfielder. Basically playing as a false nine. He'll have Werner and King Mace either side of him.
King Mace, yeah.
And then...
all hail, King Mace.
I mean, that's just a no-brainer, isn't it, at home to West Brom? I personally will be bringing him into my team because I've got a one-week punt because of probably wildcarding 31.
Yeah.
I mean, Kai Havertz at home to West Brom, he's going to have a field day. Do you remember he scored big goals against Barnsley, Sam? You know, they're a good side. Better than us.
Was that a hat-trick as well? It was pretty good.
Yeah. And he scored in the cup, in the FA Cup as well.
Scored against... When we drew 3-3 with West Brom, who scored against them?
Kai Havertz.
Did he score?
No, he set it up, didn't he?
I thought we came on and did something.
Yeah, he definitely did because he handballed it in the lead up to the goal. But Mason Mount actually changed that game. He got a goal and assist. But I don't think Sam's ready for that conversation.
The thing is, I echo a lot of what Louis's saying here because, like, Kai Havertz, he gets his hat trick in the League Cup, and you can look at the stats and you can be like, okay, hat trick in the League Cup, all the plastics think he's good. But the thing is, if you've watched Kai Havertz, he's looked absolutely class in every game. The only thing he's lacking is stats. So people who don't watch football, they're not bringing him in.
I can't work out if Sam's being sarcastic.
People like us are thinking every touch, like, we're thinking, how good is he? Like, how quick is he on the ball? How quick?
Are you being sarcastic now? Because he played very well against
balls, like, his finishing capacity, if you don't, and the way he beats players with his natural pace.
If you're listening to the podcast, and you don't talk to Sam, we got Atletico, as you all know, in the cup, and Sam said we're going to get absolutely smashed at the top of the Liga. Yeah.
I was wrong. Mason Mount is.
Why don't we get I was wrong? You saying I was wrong and just put that on every single opinion you've had this season? It would just age
I
so
was
well.
Wrong.
There we go.
I was wrong. Mason Mount is that good? To anyone who's listening,
he's not even playing the second leg, and we still scored because Kai Havertz had a great game. Get him in your team.
Yeah, get Kai Havertz in your team, guys.
Only if you can afford him and Mitrovic. There's.
At the end of the day, Havertz is a better shout than Mitrovic. Yeah. Let's just get that straight. So before Sam tries
Mitrovic
to,
isn't even a star.
Yeah, Havertz is that good, but we'll see at the end of this game week who's better.
Okay, cool. Thanks so much for listening to this section. Get Kai Havertz in your team, get Jota in as well, and throw Mitrovic in the bin. And join us for a Q&A. Up next. All right, so for this last section, we're going to be answering your questions. We've actually got quite a few, albeit limited people asking a number of questions. But we'll start off with, and we'll stagger people's questions. So we've got a good question, which is Mo Salah or no Salah? Considering the team you can put together when you open up his funds is flames. So
I like the Mo and no pun.
Do you like that, Joe?
Yeah, that was clever. I see what you did.
You're very bright. Sam?
Mo Salah or no Salah? I think that I would be very tempted to bring him in.
You just took him out.
I did just take him out, but because we've all had Salah over the last few years and we know what he can do. And he's got, as you said, a good run of fixtures towards the end of the season. The only difficult looking teams he has, Man United and maybe Leeds away, but I wouldn't call Arsenal away
Leeds
a difficult
away.
Game.
It's a difficult fixture. Leeds, he scored a hat-trick against first game of the season.
But that's a difficult...
Leeds are cannon.
Well, I suppose defensively they're not great, but Arsenal away I wouldn't call a difficult game. So maybe you could say only Man United.
Especially when people probably be bringing him in from 31-ish. So.
Yeah, and that's 9 game weeks that you'd have with him. But the problem is he hasn't not blanked in now 6 game weeks. And even then he only got 7. And the one before he got 7, then he got 2 again, and then he got 15. But then in between that 15 and the next time he didn't blank was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 game weeks. So... like he really has done basically nothing at this half of the season. Yeah. So you're sort of weighing up like what you've seen him do in the last few seasons against what he's done this season, which is comparable to like Andros Townsend having a decent season. But I'm talking about the second half of the season. Do you want to spend 12.5 on someone who's comparable to Andros Townsend having a good season?
I think
that is what it is.
When I look at Salah and those fixtures and what Salah's done in FPL, maybe it's romantic, but and then you compare him to what your other premium assets are, your Canes, your De Bruyne's, your Bruno's, who else is there in that
Son,
I think with those fixtures Salah would outscore all of them if he gets ticking, because like Salah is class. Liverpool are innately class. They're not suddenly become shit overnight. I don't know. I've got this feeling that people will sleep on Salah. And
but
if you actually watch him play, like, I captained him again. Was it away at West Ham? Who were meant to be a good team?
Yeah, you got a good captain out of it.
No, he just tore him to pieces.
But the reality is, that is one in, like, a ridiculous number of game weeks that he didn't blank.
Yeah. I don't know.
Luke, his last 4 games, he's played Wolves, Fulham, Chelsea and Sheffield United. Bar Chelsea, that's 3 teams who are pretty pathetic, let's be honest. I support Fulham, but they're pathetic. And he's blanked against all 4 of those teams. And it goes on further back than that. Are we really telling people to bring in 13 million for someone who's blanking against the shittest team?
I don't know.
I think so. I actually think you could finish the rest of the season without him. I think there are good enough midfield options to survive without Salah. It just depends if you're brave enough to go without him. But at this point, it's not even brave because, like, he's so expensive and not playing well. We're all kind of assuming that Liverpool are going to turn it around, which I actually still think they will do.
but it's still not guaranteed, right? There's still a chance Liverpool underperform for the rest of the season, and he might get a few goals here and there, but for 12.7 you want them to be getting like averaging like a goal a game basically, and there's still a chance he won't do that. So
I didn't mean to.
Yeah, I think if you could, if you risk it and you think there are better options and cheaper options so you can spread your funds elsewhere, then I think you can miss out Salah. But if you want to kind of play it safe, isn't quite the right word, but if you want to just like stick to your guns and I hope Liverpool turn it around, then I think
there's many different ways to do well in FPL. So if you don't own Salah and you own, I don't know, De Bruyne, or then you, instead maybe you own Lingard and Rafinha, they might outscore him. But the question is, Salah, when he plays, Leeds away, Newcastle at home, Southampton at home, West Brom away, Burnley away, Palace at home, people who do own him are going to captain him when you look at the relative fixtures. So if you're willing to if you're willing to sit there and be like, not only am I not going to own Salah, I know that the bulk of people I'm playing in my mini league are going to captain him, and therefore if he does well and he does a K and he scores a hat trick, like, you could be done out here. Like, that is literally like a
I was what, 40 points behind you in the league, I captained Kane, you didn't have him, and I'm now like 20 points ahead of
I
you.
I just don't think it's worth, in the way you can get away with not owning De Bruyne, because he'll get rotated enough and people won't own him and people won't trust him to captain him. I don't think in the latter stages of the season you don't not want to own someone like Salah, and Liverpool do have something to play for. They'll be going for top four.
That's a good point. No, that's a very good point.
I mean, this actually really brings us into the next question, which is a great thing, which is, what is your strategy, i.e. risky versus safe and goal top 10k, etc., for us probably just winning the league for the rest of the season? So do you go and think, I'm just going to go for who goes best, or I'm going to go for who I think everyone else goes for and then maybe take the odd risk?
Because I think it depends where, what you care about, and then where you're positioned among what you care about. So I care about our mini league, and I'm positioned first, so I'm going to play it safe for the rest of the season that I'm ahead. Whereas, like, if I was behind, I would be more risky about it and maybe captain someone like Aaron Cresswell away to Arsenal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like at this point, I'm not even in the top million, so like it just doesn't matter what I do really. I can just like mess around a bit and see what happens, and if I get a good random captain, then that's all good. But it's at this point in the season, I would say it's kind of slightly different to how it would be at the start of the season, and you have to, I think you, to start with, you have to play it safe. Like, you just have to. If you don't have those players, like this season, like, it's been probably Son, Kane, Bruno Fernandes, even Salah as well. I know we've just slated him a bit, but you have and City defenders. Like, you've had to have those players, and if you hadn't had, you're an idiot. But it's the kind of differentials outside of those players that allow you to really climb the leagues a little bit. So yeah, I think it's a blend of both is ideal, but I think that also does change as you go through the season.
Yeah, I would say, like, in general,
cool,
like,
have you been sat out here with just Joel talking about?
Realistically, if you're
making some good points,
I really
much.
Doubt that.
I reckon if you're in the top 100k, like, I just reckon generally, I can generally play it safe, because, like, it's a good achievement to end up in the top 100k.
It's not. No one will remember your 65k finish, which is where I'm at, roundabout right now, probably like 48. You either have to. It's all about where you are in your mini league, because
yeah, I completely agree. It's all about mini league.
But if you are there and you're sat there and you don't really play with mini leagues and you're sat there, 14k, 15k, like, you can go 15k and people will be impressed. People will be a hell of a lot more impressed if you get to 3k, 2k. So I think it's worth, like, if you're thinking, oh, I might bring in Mason Mount, but he's got a low ownership and he's not, take punts. I think it's worth it.
And Mason Mount is that good, so it's definitely worth it.
But also,
coming from someone who's finished in the top 2k, unlike these two.
But at this point, you guys are all quite close to the top, so are you still willing to risk it, Louis?
I will play in a way in which, so, like, I'm top of my uni league, I'm second in Emmanuel League. I don't know. I generally think I probably won't risk it too much, but
this is what I'm saying. It's about like a blend. It's about like a hybrid of kind of like solid players you can rely on and the few risks in there. Like, that's why you have like Rafinha and Jesse Lingard. I know.
But Lingard, for instance, for me, Wolves away, I want to take him out for Havertz or Mount for this week.
Really?
But my risk now is that Lingard is owned by everyone who's a rival to me. So that's why it's got way more added risk. Whereas, like,
I wouldn't take
if I wanted to take Digne out for Alonso, I don't suffer the same repercussions because no one owns Luka Digne.
But surely there must be other midfielders you'd rather take out than
Jesse Lingard.
Lingard, yeah, sure. For this,
like, I'm surprised you'd take out Jesse Lingard. Like, hasn't he got quite a good fixture
out
this week?
So who else am I taking out? I'm taking out Bruno at home to Brighton. Not happening.
No, Salah, no.
No, well, I don't even own Salah anymore. But Son away to Newcastle if he's fit.
Yeah, not happening.
Not happening. Who else? Rafinha at home to Sheffield United.
Not happening.
Not happening. And then
Gundogan.
No, I got rid of Gundogan. It will be, and then Lookman's on my bench away to Villa, so it's my.
I think it boils down to why the hell are you bringing in Kai Havertz?
Yeah.
Why the bloody hell are you bringing in Kai Havertz? Like, it's just a ridiculous thing
my
to do.
My other one,
like,
is, so yeah, Lingard, Rafinha, Fernandez, Son, Lookman. So
it's not like this is a necessity.
Sam,
like,
Sam.
You're never gonna get ahead of me doing this. Like,
if I'm wild,
Kai Havertz will get 1 point.
If I'm wildcard in game week 31, I either get rid of that transfer. So that means that transfer is never used again. I've got one transfer to use, and I can just take a punt on anyone if I've got my wild card next week. So if Chelsea play West Brom at home, I think it's worth taking a punt on one of their players.
Do you not have the funds for Lookman to have it?
No, but then who am I going to bench? One of my strikers, Watkins at home to Watkins, Kane or Bamford.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, but if you didn't have Lingard or Havertz and you were thinking, oh, I've got one free transfer, let's take a punt. Wolves away, Lingard.
Fixed, yeah.
Or Havertz. Havertz. Who is it? Not Sheffield United.
Wolves away.
No, Chelsea. Who are Chelsea playing again? West Brom.
At home, yeah.
West Brom, yeah. I reckon they take Lingard over Havertz every day of the week. Even if they have that free transfer, like, they take. So I know you have that free transfer. You may as well not use it. I know you're going to use your wild card, but what's the point if one is objectively more likely to get more points than the other? Lingard is more likely to get points than Havertz.
Okay, well, this is...
This is moving away from the question.
The question, though, is basically, I just think if you have a hunch on a player and they've got a good fixture and no one owns them, just take that punt, because you'll watch that game, you'll enjoy it, you'll get way more pleasure if they score than if the person... If Lingard scores, that means nothing to me because everyone owns them. Whereas if Havertz scores for me against West Brom at home, that would mean so much. And fantasy is ultimately about fun.
But I think being in a position where you take risks is either you're taking risks either out of desperation or out of, like,
luxury. If people don't captain the person who you're selling, so what is Lingard best case scenario going to get away to Wolves? 10?
Yeah.
That's 10 max, and that's fine because no one's going to captain him.
Yeah.
And then Havertz is going to get what? Worst case scenario, 2. So you're losing 8, which isn't the end of the world. Do you know what I mean? It's like, whereas you could...
Yeah.
I agree with Joel that, like... What was it you said? Luxury or...
Desperation.
Desperation, yeah. I think taking risks is luxury or desperation. So unless you're Michael Kuhn, who happens to be top of FPL, it's desperation. Like, yeah, you want to climb up FPL leaderboards and you do that safely. You don't do that with, yeah, like... Like, week on week, you do that safely. You don't do
you
that with road calls.
No, but it's not
that. You don't do that with your Jamal Lewis's.
When you captain Kane, when everyone else was captaining Gundogan in a double game week, you were taking a risk. Because if Gundogan,
do you think that was a risk? I don't think it was a risk at all.
It didn't manifest itself as a risk. But if Gundogan started both and scored 2 and thingy, and Kane had got what he has done in most games and blank because Tottenham are rubbish, you would have been absolutely slaughtered. It just came off.
I mean, you say he's blank to most games.
But
first, he's Harry Kane. You
took a risk. Because Kane's ownership and his captaincy was way lower than Gundogan's.
I think objectively I didn't take a risk. Home to Palace, who would absolutely dreadful.
But let's look at some of the fixtures that Kane's blanked in.
I don't think it's a risk.
Yeah, he didn't throw his glasses off against Arsenal.
Yeah, he didn't, did he? You said you're going to triple captain him against Arsenal.
When you're as good a player as Kane, captaining him is never a risk.
Yeah, I agree.
Captaining someone like Jesse Lingard is a risk because he's not consistent, right? Also, your point about, like, risk, like, having differentials in your team is, I think, a good idea, but captaining them is way more risky. And I would always say it's good to have differentials in your team, like risky players, captaining them is when we're talking about like desperate measures, you know. So I think you've got to have risky players in there, because how else, if you have just like a template team, you're never going to catch up. But if you can manage to get a few risky players in them and you're consistent captaining getting you hauls, then I think that's the way to go about it.
Okay, this next question, non-FPL related, we love a bit of that. Who wins the Champions League this year? I love that. And can we talk about the last round of the Champions League? I don't know if you boys watched a lot of it.
Yeah.
It was insane. Like, Porto versus really great. Juventus game and stuff. Yeah. Like, they were just exactly why we love football.
Chelsea going to win the Champions League.
Okay. Are either one of you going to say anyone other than Chelsea is going to win the Champions League?
Well, Chelsea will win it, yeah.
Okay, so I'm the only person that's actually answering this question. Not that it's FPL related, but I reckon Bayern Munich will win it. But if it's not Bayern Munich, I think it'll be Man City.
So basically, I think Chelsea have a very, very good shot of... when you get into the final, you've got to fight a chance. When you get into the final, you've got to fight a chance.
Yeah.
We have to beat Porto. We're very lucky with that. Yeah. I think Chelsea do a lot of luck in the draw, but that's not...
But Porto are a good team.
Yeah, they're a good team. They're a good team. I think we'll beat them. We don't concede goals, so how do you lose games? Next up, we've got Real Madrid or Liverpool. Real Madrid are a team who are comfortably behind an Atletico team that we made look like a championship side. And then Liverpool are obviously seventh in the Premier League. I am not saying that Chelsea are exceptionally one of the best teams in Europe, but I think with that route, we'll get to the final. When you get to the final, you've got...
I agree.
City have to go and beat Bayern or someone like that. And I just think, like, City-Bayern, for me, is a coin toss. Two unbelievably good sides.
Yeah, okay. I agree with that. But I don't necessarily agree with sort of, like, if you get to the final, it's up in the air. I reckon... In the 21st century, I'd say only twice has the underdog won the Champions League final, and that was Chelsea and Liverpool. I can't think of another time that's happened. Every favourite has won the Champions League final, and I can't see it happening
Liverpool
twice for Chelsea.
Liverpool favourites against Real Madrid?
I wouldn't say so, because Real Madrid have won so many Champions Leagues in the lead up to that. They still have Ronaldo basically at his best. They have Bale... maybe tailing off a little bit, but still pretty great. Ramos, they had a great structure. That midfield of Casemiro, Modric and Isco, that's not a matchup with Liverpool's Henderson, Wijnaldum, and especially at the time, Oxlade-Chamberlain or whoever you have in there. Especially at that time before they won that Champions League, it just wasn't a matchup. So I'd definitely say Real Madrid were the favourites in that game. I think Bayern Munich will win the Champions League. Again, if not, it'll be City, but it won't be Chelsea. Objectively, it won't be Chelsea.
I can get behind...
Do you want to do one of those bets, Louis? Like your top four bet, but a Champions League bet?
Can we just tell the listeners that when Sam had a few beers, said that it was £30, Chelsea won't make the top four?
Well, it's still on.
Do you know what you said?
I'm still happy to commit to that.
You shouted at me. You said, Liverpool are so good. Tottenham are so good.
Can you hear this? Like, we still got how many games? 8-9 games left in the season?
Louis
acting like you've already got top four.
Anyway,
I can't wait for the end of the season.
You know, Spurs are only 3 points behind Chelsea.
Exactly, and they got Harry Kane.
Sam put 40 quid on Tottenham to win the league. Is that correct?
Yeah, I did. No, I put 30 quid at 50-1. Actually, no, I might put 50 quid 30-1. Can't remember. Either way, it returned 1500, and
it hasn't gone
well. It's failed. But Louis said Frank Lampard's Chelsea winning the Premier League, and.
Well, they could still.
Frank Lampard's Chelsea are no more, man.
Okay, so I think Chelsea. Joel thinks Chelsea. You think
Bayern/City.
No, Bayern/City.
You're getting the objective point of view.
Get off your fence.
I think it'll be City this year.
I think.
Honestly, you said Bayern are going to win it about 2 minutes.
Yeah,
ago.
Yeah, but I think
if I was to pick between Bayern
I think
and
it's
City,
Pep
I'd choose Bayern
again.
I would. If Pep doesn't faff around with his team selections, that team is unbelievable.
Because the thing is, they've got the matchup that Bayern has. It's a fair matchup, but I think the way City play is so superior.
He will do something stupid.
Yeah,
I think Pep will
play Foden up front. No, Foden at centre back and Stones up front or something silly. Like, false nine.
I just think it's in their head, and I think the pressure is going to get to them because they haven't done well in it. It's not just like, okay, lads, it's a semi final, quarter final, whatever. Because they have done so badly before, it will be more pressure than normal.
But you've got the narrative. You've got the Aguero swan song this year as well.
I could see that ending up with a Champions League win. Can you imagine Aguero there with a trophy, his last game for Man City?
He's not going to play another game for City.
No, but either way, he'll still be there with the trophy, but he definitely will play another game for City.
Wait, Joel, I'll put 50 quid right now. What a ridiculous statement that he's going to freeze him out of the team. Aguero's City's best striker still. That's what means that they're definitely getting Haaland.
The thing is, Joel, they'll win the Prem with at least three games to go. So they'll just plug him in for
Aguero's not a charity case. Aguero's going to play because he's fucking class.
I think he's a charity case. I think he's past
it. He is the best striker for sure that we've watched in our living memory by a mile. We've watched the Henrys
and he's better.
But we watched Henri and Drogba when we were like, I'm saying like the post-2010s, when we properly started following football. I'm saying Aguero has defined so much of how I followed the Premier League.
What has he done this season?
He's insanely good.
He's not suddenly going to be that player in the last 10 games of the season.
Yeah, but Pep's priority right now is he's whatever clear. His priority will be Champions League. He says, Jesus, you go and have a little rest. I don't think he'll even play Jesus or Aguero in Champions League. I think they're a better team with a false nine.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point.
But either way, he might play. He played Aguero and Jesus up front the other day. I mean, Aguero's going to get minutes. He's literally getting a statue outside the net he had.
Yeah, but not because of how he's played this season.
No, obviously not. Because that would be weird to give him a statue for that. He's been shit. He's been injured. But yeah, so the crux of it is, do I actually think Chelsea... If you put a gun to my head and said, Louis, put 50 quid on something, I think it's City's year.
Yeah, same.
And because behind closed doors, it means they're like vacuous, lack of fan club. It's kind of like, it festers for them, like it's kind of made for them.
But in the same vein, you could say it's made for Chelsea.
No, because Chelsea are a big club.
Yeah, they weren't. I mean, they basically didn't exist before the 21st
century. We went and won it in Bayern Munich's back doors. With a whole full crowd. How's that
Who's your best player like?
Didn't you lose in the Europa League final?
Osgood, who unless you like been to Chelsea, you've never heard of. Like Osgood, who even is Osgood? Like
our best ever player is Frank James Lampard. Who?
No, but before the 21st century. Before the 21st century, who are we talking about?
Bigger than
Osgood?
Your club. Lampard.
Osgood, like, I mean, who is Osgood?
If in a few
does
years,
does anyone know who that is?
In a few years,
anyone out there, FPL fans who don't support Chelsea, do you know who Osgood
is?
I don't know what he looks like.
In a few years, you go up to people and you say, do you know who Frank Lampard is? And you say, do you know who Fulham Football Club are? More people are going to know who Frank Lampard is. Frank Lampard is bigger than Fulham Football Club, which isn't staggering. A person is bigger than your entire club.
How great of a Chelsea football club. I mean, your best player is always going to be compared to Steven Gerrard, who won nothing domestically that meant anything really. And is better than your best player of all time.
Your club gets compared to Charlton. Like
my club, I will sit here and tell you my club is shit, and that's part of the beauty of supporting Fulham Football Club. But you think Chelsea should be dancing with Barcelona, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich? That's a joke. Like Chelsea are a small club.
We're about to go.
They've had an awakening, but the reality is, come on.
So who are you?
They're nothing.
Chelsea have won a European Cup. We won it in Bayern Munich's back door. We're the most successful club in England of the last, however, two decades. I mean, what makes a big club? Winning trophies?
So, if we're talking about the last decade, how many Premier Leagues have you won since 2010?
We've won Mourinho, we won in 2010 itself, or we won in 2011 under Ancelotti or whatever.
Conte.
Mourinho, Conte. I mean, there's at least going to be...
So, there's two? Three?
No, there's definitely three, minimum.
So, the best club in the last decade is Chelsea, even though they've won less than Man City. Is that what we're going with it?
We won a European Cup. We won a European Cup in 2012, and we won. I mean,
we won Europa League a couple of times as well.
Yeah, Chelsea have never entered the Europa
League. You won
League
the Europa League, which Chelsea, you're only in because you're not good enough
Chelsea
to win the Champions League.
Chelsea have never entered the Europa League and not won it. Sam, you're fucking 30 quid Fulham, just your 30 quid Tottenham team, whoever, 50 quid. They just went out on a 2-0 lead. So who was it? Dinamo Zagreb, whose manager was in prison.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you Tottenham are a good team. But don't be under the illusion that Chelsea are.
They just are. I mean, Chelsea don't concede goals. How can you not be a good team if you don't concede goals?
How many more questions are you going to do?
A lot more, mate. Wait, Chelsea have won two leagues in Premier League. The Ancelotti one was in 2009. 2014 and 2016.
You know, that's being recorded, yeah?
Louis' knowledge is going to be scrutinised.
Yeah. Okay, so next question is, we've asked about which team will win the Champions League, which team is going to win the Euros. So, Sam, Do you think England are going to win the Euros like me?
Definitely. We're going to win the Euros. And that's all I have to say.
I think that's a stupid question.
Yeah, so England have Mason Mount, England won the Euros.
Quite.
Okay, cool. So Mason Mount's England are winning the Euros. Next question. Did Leicester sink again like last 8 game weeks of the season, or have they learned? Brackets, FPL asset wise. So we're talking about Ian Accio, maybe like a Castagne, but probably who else is there? Like,
well, they've got Barnes and Madison, but are they back? They must be back soon.
Barnes is out like for a bit, isn't he? Vardy, he's been in the team next to Ian Accio and hasn't got the points that Ian Accio's got. So I wouldn't. There's no point bringing in Vardy.
Yeah.
In my opinion,
he's a similar price to Kane. You can always have Kane over Vardy, I feel.
The reality is, in terms of Leicester as a team and also FPL assets, they're just not as good as the people they're in company with. So if you want those sort of high end of the table players, I just think you're always overachieving if Leicester are matching the likes of Man United, Man City, Liverpool and those other great teams up there.
Sam doesn't look sure
if
about
Madison
that.
And Barnes are fit, like they're good.
Yeah, I was going to say, if Madison and Barnes are fit, I think you fear not owning, especially that week where everyone bought him in Barnes when he got injured. Yeah, everyone feared not having him that week. You feared it.
I didn't.
You did.
Louis doesn't feel
fit. No good.
But the thing is, like, we're talking about Leicester is like, you shouldn't fear their players because they're Leicester, but like, are you fearing not having any Chelsea players? I'm not fearing not having a single Chelsea player. True.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing. They're just, their points get distributed. And,
yeah.
But yeah, Ian actually might well be in my wildcard team.
Ooh, but I hope Leicester crumple like they did last season, because it would be good for Chelsea.
I think we can both get top four, and that's the ideal.
Yeah, true. But I'd like to think Leicester would get top four, because I'd rather them get it than Spurs and Liverpool. But these things are hard to predict.
If anyone can, you can. Right, next question is... Ooh, we got a Fulham question. We'll do this one. Who's been your favourite player in your team this season? We've also got another question which we'll finish on. Player you most enjoyed owning?
McCarthy, Southampton goalkeeper.
Is that sarcasm?
Yeah, I hate it. I had him while everyone had Martinez.
But who do you most enjoy having?
Bruno Fernandes, probably.
Yeah, but everyone has him.
It's not like a...
Who'd you just love, I think for me, plugging in?
Vladimir Kufal, because he's just kind of like, no one really had him, and he would do the old thing, and it's just like, he just was doing way better than his price suggested.
Jamal Lewis.
Yeah, Jamal Lewis has done really well for you.
Yeah, he's class.
For me, Matty Target. I got loads of points for Target.
Great shout. I remember when I bought Jamal Lewis in, he was like 4.6, because he got like a clean sheet in his first game, and everyone was like, cheap 4.5 option. I played my wild card and brought him in game 2. He's now worth 4.2 at Newcastle, the worst team in the league.
It's worth giving a shout out to the fact that I've owned Martinez since game 2. I just think, like, you stick him there and he's just unbelievably good. I think another person who's worth a shout out, Joel, you haven't owned him, but Dallas, just like, if you're suddenly from your 4-point whatever midfielder getting like 8, 17, defender. It's just ridiculous.
4.5 defender.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Wasn't it you, Joel, that didn't have him for ages?
I still don't have him. I haven't owned him once.
You kept Jamal Lewis in for a moment.
I brought in Alioski, though.
That's class. Yeah. Doesn't play. Quite enjoy owning Grealish, just like watching him.
Yeah, no, Grealish is class. Also, like, Calvert-Lewin at the first.
Yeah,
half of
Calvert-Lewin
the
definitely gets
a great shout. If I was a Suchek owner.
No-go,
he's unreal.
Yeah.
First half of the season, I think, having
No-go, exploited Suchek.
But there's also that argument of like that player that like, so my, if I like, most also, well is Danny Welbeck, because I brought him in and he just happened to score and I got so much stick from like Sam, and then he just happened to score a fluky goal, and it's the only thing we saw of him, but like that is just the best moment in fantasy.
Also when I shouted out Gundogan and Luke
Shaw,
you
have them in your team.
I know but if you'd had them, these are the players. Like Luke Shaw was worth like 4.9, he was getting clean sheets and assists like consistently. Gundogan was like 4.5, 5.6.
Yeah, ridiculous.
And he was getting like crazy. So it's those kind of players, the kind of like when you make the shout that you watch. If you watch a few games and you see players playing well before everyone jumps on them, that's the most satisfying player to have. And yeah, I think
those players, like Luke Shaw especially this season, no one rated Luke Shaw at all. Everyone's like, he's finished. Telles came in and Luke Shaw just like stepped up. Those are the kind of players you are having in your fantasy team. But I haven't had any of them in my fantasy team.
Even though you recommended like all of them.
Yeah. But no, I haven't really enjoyed fantasy at all this season, so I'm not sure I can include anyone. Maybe Fabbri. My second choice goalkeeper.
That's as good as it gets for Joel Stanley. Zero points for the entire season.
He actually went down from 4.0 to 3.9, which has crippled my...
Doesn't matter.
No, it does. It really does.
Doesn't seem like I'm gonna take him out.
I mean, like, no one cares.
So, we've got two questions. If we want to go for even. So, one is the... Who's got the biggest X? But I don't think we're going to answer that. Sam, if you had to hazard a guess.
I reckon I'd go with Joel, based on the facts available to me.
Who's got the biggest what?
X.
Biggest X?
Yeah.
We might have to crop this out.
Out of the three of us.
Biggest X?
Yeah.
Oh, not?
Yeah.
Why is that an X? I thought it meant like ex-girlfriend.
I was just going like as an ex. I didn't want to say the word.
Oh, okay.
We're explicit on Spotify. Yeah. It's fine.
No, I don't think it's me.
No?
I would say I'm like fairly.
We're gonna have to crop this out. It's too weird. I'll go Sam.
I'll go Louis.
I'll go Sam.
Sam's got Louis. We're all tiny.
I'm a lucky man.
Should we just crop all of that? Okay, next one. All right, last question is from Josh Dill FPL, who asked Champions League, basically with the Champions League, with a wild card, do we weaken our bench? Basically, around the concept of if you've got a wild card, do you weaken the bench? Because I say yes.
I would say, I mean, it depends where you start from, but I don't think you should leave a bench devoid of players who can come in and potentially get you some sort of points other than a blank.
I think City players will get rotated. Liverpool players won't get rotated. So you can have as many Liverpool players as you want. Chelsea players are always going to get rotated, whether it's Premier League or Champions League. And who's the other team in the Champions League? English team.
This is us three because...
Liverpool, Chelsea, City. That's it.
Who got knocked out?
United got knocked out.
So then Arsenal...
But United are in the Europa League, to
Arsenal
be fair.
And United are in the Europa League.
Yeah. But no one's going to have any Arsenal.
Bruno's always going to play.
Yeah, Bruno's always going to play.
It's basically City. City players will always get rotated. I think having... It does make a difference.
Just go Diaz and no one else. And I genuinely don't think it's worth having a load of other City players.
I think Diaz and Gundogan.
Diaz and Gundogan. I'd say the Gundogan's necessary.
At his price, it doesn't matter if he gets rotated.
Yeah. Gundogan's still Gundogan. Like, he's not... I don't know.
But he scores goals. But if you have De Bruyne, who's 11.7 or whatever, if he gets rotated, that is such a waste. It's just not worth it at all. Whereas if Gundogan gets rotated, he gets zero, and you have De Bruyne in your team because you hope he's going to get 10 each game. Whereas you have Gundogan in your team because you hope he's going to get like 3 each game. So if Gundogan doesn't start, you lose 3 points. If De Bruyne doesn't start, you lose 10 points. So that's why I think it's better having Gundogan over De Bruyne. I think this season's different. I think normally when top four are playing well, you worry about rotation because it's Champions League. But I think this season's different because teams in the Champions League aren't doing as well as they would expect in the league, apart from City. But City will always rotate anyway, so...
My answer to that would be that... Don't go spending a load on your bench. It only ends in heartbreak. It gives you loads of annoying decisions. I agree with Sam. Put players on your bench who will play, so that if they come in, they can give you a 2, and they might give you a fluky 5. But don't go stacking your bench. You have annoying decisions every week.
Yeah, I agree.
Aside from that, we're done. The sun's gone. The beers have gone. The food's gone. Our love for FPL simply hasn't gone, and we're so ready for the international break to be over. And go and be churning out more regular content for all of our listeners. Thanks so much for listening, and join us next week on Midnight FPL. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.